In and Out of the Kitchen by Damien Trench. January the 17th to the 21st.
There we are. Plunge away.
We could talk about this later, if you like.
Why talk about it at all? Why do we need to have a plan for the spare room?
I think we should have a plan for everything. And taking on a lodger would be a very practical and economic move. I mean, it's a sensible use of the spare room, isn't it?
No, it's not a sensible use, Anthony. I don't know how often I have to underline this point. It has a use. That use is being the spare room.
Well, you want it to be empty. I mean, if it's totally empty, we might as well not have it. I mean, what would be the point of that? We've started a loft conversion to give us more space, and yet there's already a perfectly good room that we don't even need.
We do need it.
You just said...
I don't mean spare as in left over. I mean, is it... Am I really going to have to use the phrase guest bedroom?
Well, any phrase that would help you explain what it is you actually mean, Damien, would be most welcome.
It's a room that's there so that people can come and stay.
When did we last have someone to stay?
Libby?
When was that?
Well, I don't have the facts to hand, but I'd have thought it was pretty recently.
7 months ago.
Yeah, even so.
Why can't we have a lodger? I mean, it's a nice room in a nice house on a nice street, and I think we're nice people.
We're okay. What about guests?
We've got a fold-out in the sitting room.
We can't put people in the sitting room.
Then why did you insist that we spend £2,800 on a three-seat sofa that folds out into a bed?
Emergencies.
Well, like what? The people in the guest room developing vertigo, taking in evacuees, the stairs being stolen?
Don't be flippant about vertigo. It's the silent killer.
You're thinking of diabetes.
I'm not, actually.
Ridiculous.
A lodger would be an imposition.
Oh, they wouldn't. They would offset the cost of that sofa bed.
They'd upset my rhythm.
You have rhythm?
The domestic ebb and flow.
Nonsense.
They'd trample on our routine.
I'm not proposing us letting out the room to cattle, Damien.
It's just...
As long as we laid out proper ground rules, everything would be okay.
Well, I remain unconvinced.
Fine, then I shall convince you. What have I been sitting on? Oh, no.
Well, talks didn't break down completely at breakfast, but we had certainly reached a conversational impasse until I changed the subject to mulch sourcing. I took my second cup of coffee up to the landing to commence work. I have to say that now that I've had a little time to think about it all, there are certainly some things to recommend the idea. Economically, a little extra revenue would be welcome as we're undergoing fresh works. Mr. Mullaney is going upstairs in estate agent's parlance, or doing a loft conversion to anyone else, giving us an additional bathroom, storage and or exercise space, stroke dojo. Not that a lodger's weekly rent will make much of a dent in the amount that Mr. Mullaney is charging, but it's certainly a step in the right direction. Far more importantly, though, it might be rather nice to have another brain about the house. A tenant, if well chosen, could be a useful sounding board for ideas. Quite often when I've written something and really need to read it out loud to someone, Anthony will suddenly become incredibly busy. Mr. Mullaney is also a little unresponsive whenever I read to him. It's rather tricky to interpret his lengthy mms as praise or criticism. Of course, he may feel it's not his place to speak out, rather like that poor butler in The Remains of the Day.
Hello?
Damien, how are you? Already at your desk, I trust.
Good morning, Ian. Yes, you're in early, even by your standards.
Well...
It's 8:15.
Is it? Yes.
Have you slept in your office?
No, Damien. I tried, but it had been locked.
Ian, why were you trying to sleep in your office?
Well, to be perfectly frank, Louise and I are having a few difficulties.
Oh, why, I'm sorry to hear that, Ian.
It's just one of those things.
You... If you'll forgive me say that, but it isn't the first time, is it? I seem to recall you being stuck in the Hammersmith Ibis for nearly 3 weeks last spring.
It was in Novato, Damien, and it was work-related. Anyway, I'm sure we'll be able to patch things up. I bought us tickets to see Spamalot tonight.
Oh, in a gesture of reconciliation?
I bought the tickets especially for the purpose.
Well, I hope it goes well.
Thank you. Now, I'm ringing to ask if you would consider writing a restaurant review for someone.
Oh, I really don't.
No, hear me out, hear me out. Ooh, and I've had to say that a lot lately. It's not a regular column, or a gig be. One of Pink Floyd is guest editing one of the freebies.
Pink Floyd?
Or maybe it's one of their wives. Anyway, I've not got it in front of me. The girl who turns the computers on doesn't come in until 9. I specifically requested that you write a restaurant piece.
I really don't think that criticism is my métier.
It doesn't have to be criticism, Damo. It can be complimentary. It's surprisingly well paid, actually. They must sell a lot of advertising.
I see.
Or something's going on somewhere, money-wise.
I'll think about it.
Knew you would.
Enjoy, Spamalot. I hear the second...
Bye!
I understand what Ian says about being nice, but I simply can't set out to a restaurant intending to lord it to the heavens, or what am I for? If I go somewhere and I dislike it, I would be honour-bound to say so. My readers expect, and deserve, honesty from me, and as a writer, I consider it one of my most precious commodities. I simply will not pen puff pieces, not after the time that I was hoodwinked into scribbling something little short of an endorsement for a range of microwavable desserts. However, as a one-off, I shall do it. As a gesture of goodwill to Pink Floyd, and I hope he appreciates it, and in the hope that the fee might help steer Anthony off the lodger topic for 10 seconds. Even the thought of being publicly critical makes me nervous, and so I must comfort it. But, nota bene, comfort need not mean fattening. Oh no. Recipe: low-guilt chicken curry. You merely need a pair of chicken breasts, free-range, corn-fed, organic, the works, an onion, a thimble-sized piece of ginger, a couple of garlic cloves, half a teaspoonful each of coriander, cumin and garam masala, a quarter teaspoonful of turmeric, any more would be madness, a chilli, preferably a bird's-eye one, 2 tablespoons of yoghurt, always proper yoghurt, don't go for the low-fat, it's all lies, 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 a tin of plum tomatoes, and a teaspoonful each of salt and vegetable oil. Oh, and a Magimix blender, or an equivalent. Peel the onion, the garlic and the ginger. Cut the top off the chilli, but leave the seeds in, and then whiz the whole lot in the Magimix or similar until they're finely chopped. Then place half the onion mix in a bowl and mix in the yoghurt. Cube your chicken and add it to the yoghurt mixture. It must now be left for half an hour. Meanwhile, in an oven-proof saucepan, heat the smallest amount of oil that you dare and add the rest of the onion mixture to it. Fry it gently for 3 minutes, stirring occasionally, and then add the spices and the salt. Whiz the tomatoes in the Magimix, no need to clean it first, and then add them to the pan and cook on the lowest heat, uncovered, for half an hour. Somewhere during all of this, you should have preheated your oven to gas mark 4. Add the chicken and the yoghurt to the saucepan, stir it, cover it, pop it in the oven for 40 minutes, and that's it. Serve with rice. And if you happen to have any fresh coriander around, although it never is when you need it, is it? Then adding a chopped handful of that at the very end would be sensible. That's 2 servings, by the way, and it freezes very well if your eyes are bigger than your stomach. Chill out, stay cool, relax, let go. January the 18th, Wednesday.
I come bearing gifts.
Hello?
Just me, Mr. Mullaney.
Ah.
I brought you a coffee.
Thanks, Mr. French. Just about to stop for one.
That's why I brought you one, so you don't have to stop.
And yet you do.
Well, I'm pretty busy, actually, Mr. Mullaney. Time refuses to stand still.
Oh, I'm sure.
Well, things seem to be going well.
Yeah, moving on apace.
Is this...
Ah! Don't touch that. That's load-bearing.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, well, you're going to have so much space once all this is done. Unless you're planning on doing something with the spare room.
I'm planning on doing nothing with it. I want it to be spare.
Oh.
Anthony thinks a lodger would be the answer to our problems. My feeling is that we can get by without a lodger.
Yeah, well, even if you can get by, it's still a good thing to do, you know, take in a lodger.
Is it?
Yeah. You know, things are tricky right now, aren't they? You know, all sorts of people need affordable places to live, and when you're on your own, you have fewer options, don't you?
I hadn't thought of that.
Neither did I till last year. That's when I took in a lodger. Young lad. Just starting out in the trade.
Right. Is he tidy?
No, he's a very conscientious worker, yeah.
No, as a lodger?
Oh, I don't know. I don't go into his room. I mean, it's not for everyone, but it feels good, you know, like you're helping someone out. Because, well, I am.
Goodness.
Mr. Mullaney is, as is so often the case, right. Anthony and I are, in a way, very lucky. And we owe it to society, as clichéd as that may sound, to give something back. Anthony was surprised by my vault farce, but I explained to him that I have never shirked from my social responsibilities. And anyway, I've always reserved the right to change my mind. He was thrilled and leapt straight to it, putting an ad up on Gumtree, if I've remembered it rightly. After I'd padded upstairs again, Ian sent over the details for the restaurant that I'm to visit and said that the magazine had provided budget for 2 guests, which was unexpected. I rang my parents, who, surprise, surprise, were free.
Nice of you to invite us, Damien, thank you.
Well, of course he invited us. Who else is he going to invite?
He could have invited anybody.
No, he couldn't, could you, Damien?
Well, I could have invited...
I probably knew we'd be the only people available at short notice.
Yeah, well, shall we go in?
Yes, let's, before we all die of hunger or exposure or get involved in a drive-by.
That's right, dear, keep it light.
Hello.
Good evening.
Hello.
Have you made a reservation?
Oh, I don't know if we have.
You haven't booked.
Oh, I knew we should have come in and checked rather than standing out there on the street like a couple of old lemons. Oh, how stupid. It's going to be a total disaster.
I'm sure it will be all right.
Yes, I have booked. Table for 3, named Trench.
Trench, I can't... Oh, yes, 7 o'clock. You're actually a bit early.
Total disaster. We're going to be thrown out onto the street and left like carrion until we're picked up.
I'm sure it's fine.
Oh, good.
Can I take your coats?
Oh, that's very kind.
Thank you.
Will they be in view? Will we actually be able to see them?
What does it matter if we can see them?
It's just basic sense.
We put them downstairs. They're quite safe.
Oh, that's reassuring. So often these things are taken out of your line of vision and then harp next to a notice stating the management cannot accept responsibility for items left unattended on the premises. Well, someone's got to take responsibility.
I'm sure it's fine.
Well, you could keep them with you if you prefer.
No, that's really...
Yes, I think that's probably for the best. Could you help me off with it?
Yeah. Oh, Christ! Are you licensed?
Am I what?
Not you. I'm talking to the girl. Is this premise licensed?
Yes.
Thank God. Well, there we are.
Sorry about all this.
That's a lovely coat.
Well, that's partly why I don't want it stolen.
Please, can we just sit down?
Oh, yes, I'm so sorry. Please just come this way.
I mean, I beg your pardon. I really wasn't addressing that complaint to you. It was to my mother.
Well, I'm ready. Just as soon as your father stopped playing the goat.
It's this way.
Oh, God, it's a bit of a squeeze, isn't it?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry about that.
Ow!
Are you all right?
Ah, fine. I just caught my hip on that. Oh! Oh, that's the other one.
Oh, sorry. We're still tinkering with the configuration.
I doubt so many puddings here. People probably worry they'd never be able to get out again. You'd just end up stuck here feeling sorry for yourself like Brian Keenan.
It would be easy for me to blame my parents for the fact that my evening at the Barley Pearl was not as enjoyable as it might have been. I'm not convinced, however, that the place would have left me with any different impression if I'd dined Toot Searle or spent an entire evening there with Sophia Loren and Roy Strong. The food was, as it goes, perfectly palatable, with one or two surprising and interesting touches. But even though I am all about food, restaurants simply cannot be. And not enough has been done in terms of atmosphere, layout and comfort. Leave them wanting more is a fine motto for an entertainer, but a less than sensible one for a restaurateur. I returned home and, with the experience still fresh in my mind, wrote the review there and then and sent it off to Ian, who, it turned out, hadn't had the best of nights either.
Attach. Attaching, please wait. Attached. Send. Oh. Oh, goodness, is that the time? I'm ready. Hello?
Damo!
Ian?
I haven't got you up, have I?
No, I've just sent my restaurant piece through. I assume that was the reason for your call.
What? Oh, the restaurant thing? Oh, yeah. I think I'll just forward it properly.
Oh.
Anyway, I just wanted to, check in.
Right, yes, how did Spamalot go?
She walked out before the end of the first half. The first half, Damo.
Oh, yeah, and I am sorry.
She said too many songs after about 15 minutes. Too many songs. And a musical. You might as well call Steak Too Beefy or House Too Bricky or Lay Into the Archbishop of Canterbury for being too overtly Anglican. I mean, the woman's just... She's just... Oh, God, Damien, oh, God.
Ian, where is she now?
Oh, home, I expect.
And where are you?
In a hotel.
Where?
It's near the theatre. It's called... What's this bloody place called? Where's the notepad? No ruddy stationery anywhere. Oh, yeah. Hang on, I'm just going to open the window.
Ian, there's really no...
Oh, where's that? Where's that? The sign. Oh, hang on, if I can just... It's called the Best Western. It's illuminated.
That's a chain, isn't it? Which one are you in? Where did you go tonight? Was it Guildford? Dartford? Potter's Bar?
I don't know. But I tell you what, it's brilliant. It's a brilliant hotel. And you're brilliant, Damo. You are brilliant cookery writer. And Spamalot is a brilliant musical. And Louise is a total maniac who wouldn't know a good musical if it... Her right up the...
Oh, dear.
And gave her a haircut.
Ian, are you still hanging out of the window?
Yes, Damien. Yes, I am.
Oh, I can see the stars. They're so very shiny.
Ian?
They sort of twinkle, don't they?
Are you near a window, Damien? Do be.
Sorry?
Do be near a window.
Ian?
Go to a window, you insufferable genius!
Okay.
Tell me what you can see, Damien Trench.
Well, not a great deal, actually. The neighbours have got some rather high pines. It's an ongoing bone of contention, actually.
I'll tell you what you can see.
Right?
You can see the stars.
Well, as I just said, it's...
Can't you?
Yes.
What are they doing?
What do you mean? Twinkling?
Yes! I like the song.
Please climb back in, Ian. You're scaring me.
Sing the song. Twinkle, twinkle. Do you know that song, David?
Yes.
You do? Oh, wonderful. I'm so glad to have finally met someone else who knows that song. Would you sing it with me now, Damien?
Ian, I am begging you, please.
Sing it!
Please, Ian.
Sing with me, please! You're my only client!
You've got heaps of clients, Ian.
Not with voices like yours, Damo. Yours is like... Oh, what are they called?
Like an angel?
Not like an angel! No, like a what's the word? It's It's a type of bird. Why can't I think? Oh, my God! No wonder I can't remember the word for nightingale anymore. I must be exhausted. I've got to go to bed, Damien.
I think that's a very good idea. You must climb back inside.
I must.
That's right.
Just as soon as we've sung together.
Oh, dear.
Just one verse. Would you do that for me? Would you? Would you?
If you get inside immediately afterwards, then yes.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
It's my pleasure.
You've always been such a beautiful woman.
Thank you.
That's why I married you.
Okay.
Now sing.
Twinkle, twinkle, little star.
Louder!
How I wonder.
January the 19th, Thursday. I didn't sleep particularly well after my unusual conversation with Ian. We have known each other for a very long time now, and never before have I encountered him in such a state. I worried about him, and then resented him for making me worry and costing me sleep. I needed to be well rested because Anthony has arranged interviews with no fewer than 3 prospective tenants this morning. I told him that 3 sounded like rather a lot to be starting with, but he warned me that 3 may just be scratching the surface. We're panning for gold, he told me, not just taking in the first oddball that lands on the doorstep. The first 2 people we saw were, I think it's fair to say, not what we were after. Isabel was an aspiring young actress, doubtless with heaps of potential, but a trifle too effervescent for first thing AM. Duncan, on the other hand, was almost totally silent, but eventually, like some sort of grunting brick, managed to convey to us that he made his living as an online gamer. All of his questions were about Wi-Fi. Helen, though, who we saw third, was an absolute grade A delight.
Yeah, I see.
And without meaning to brag, even to this street, this house is considered to have a charming aspect.
Right.
Yes, the aspect is really it's very.
And have you had the chance to use the bathroom on what would be your landing?
Not yet.
Oh, well, take one. I think you'd like it. The view from the B-Day really is something.
Oh.
Isn't it, Anthony?
Well, I've not had a chance to sit on it recently, but
well, I remember. You never sat on
but
it.
I don't. Well, I don't sit. I'd lower it, hover.
Right. That reminds me. And this is as I struggled to convey to our last applicant, Oliver.
Duncan.
Duncan. Oliver. This is a 3-loo house. There's a downstairs loo, the upstairs loo to which I just referred, and then there is an ensuite in our bedroom. The last of these would be respectfully out of bounds to tenants.
Well, that would be fine, I imagine. If the view's so good from the one with the B-day in, then why would I want to go anywhere else?
they both have B-days.
Oh, both?
Ours and yours. Ours and the one that is prospectively yours. I hope you don't think I'm being funny, but I really would prefer it if you didn't use...
No, I understand.
If you didn't use our bathroom.
Yeah, she understands, don't you?
If you didn't use our bathroom under any circumstances. Is that understood?
Yes, that's really... I quite understand.
Except even in emergencies.
Well,
I think if it was an emergency, Damien, then it would be okay for Helen to.
Well, if it was a real emergency, then yes, I suppose it would be
acceptable. What a real emergency? In this
well, you know, if heaven forbid, there would be blockages elsewhere.
Yeah, fine, then you could use ours.
One of us was already using it.
Yes, well, quite.
I mean, then she ought to wait.
Oh. I really am fine with the loo thing.
Oh, great, great. I thought we were all using the same weights and measures. Now, what else to say? Perhaps we should say something about carpets and rugs in communal areas.
The phone's ringing, Damien.
Is it?
Yes.
Well, in that case, do you think you could possibly...
Well, no, it'll be for you, so...
Oh, you think...
Go on.
I'm sorry. Will you excuse me?
Helen.
Helen, of course, Helen. The phone's, seems to be,
I'm so sorry about, not about him. So, Helen, what is it you do?
Hello?
Demo.
Ian, how are you? Are you all right?
Fine. Never better. Went to Spamalot last night.
Really?
Still superb. And slept like a log.
I'm glad to hear it.
Now, I've had an email through from the freebie, and they are thrilled with your restaurant piece.
Oh, well, that's very nice to hear.
They loved its spikiness.
Spikiness? Oh, dear. Oh, I didn't mean to be spiky. I can do a rewrite if need be.
No need be, Demo. They love what they have.
Well, if they're sure.
They are. So worry not, Demo. Worry not.
Right.
A bientôt.
I returned to the sitting room to find Anthony and the lodger agreeing terms, which I must confess was a bit of a surprise given Anthony's hints about what a lengthy process this might be. But Helen does seem fun, and also seemed very happy to take on board a few brief points I'd made about bathroom usage. We waved her goodbye, and I must say it feels good to know that we're going to be taking in a lodger and giving something back. It's nourishing. And I'm also rather pleased, I must say, by the response to my article about the Barley Pearl. My feeling, upon reflection, is that it isn't a review of a restaurant, simply an article about visiting one. It's a completely different thing, and I'm sure most sane people would agree.
January the 20th, Friday.
Shall I plunge?
Please. Do you have to use your device at the table? I'm sitting there playing games.
I'm using it to read the newspaper, Damien.
Oh. Can you read all the newspapers?
Yeah, I can read the whole internet.
My restaurant piece will be online.
Oh, yes, yes, your review.
It's not a review, it's a restaurant piece. Completely different.
Search for articles by Damien Trench. Here we are. Oh, nice byline. Guest reviewer, Damien...
You shouldn't say that.
Damien Trench enjoys his food, but finds his style and legs cramped when he takes his parents to the Barley Pearl. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah, this isn't bad, actually.
Thank you.
Various joints, and not all of them original, take knocks, as I heard my parents, they weren't like that. And, very funny. Yeah, she does. She does always. Is your phone, Damien?
I know. Hello?
Is that Damien Trench speaking?
It is, yes.
Is Helen here?
Helen?
We met yesterday, your prospective lodger.
Oh, Helen, yes. I do beg your pardon, we're half awake at this end. But I just can't tell you how thrilled we are that you're coming to
live... I'm not coming to live with you.
Oh?
Did Anthony tell you what I do for a living?
No. Is it the armed services? Have you been called on?
No. I'm a cook. I've just got my first proper job working as an assistant chef of a new restaurant.
Oh, congratulations.
Hmm. It's called the Barley Pearl, Damien. You may remember visiting it with your parents quite recently.
Oh, yeah. Now listen. I thought the food was very good.
When reviewers like you...
I'm not a reviewer, Helen. I'm a food writer.
There's no difference to us, Damien. When someone with a reputation like yours in food circles writes off a new restaurant...
I didn't write it off, Heather.
Helen! My name's Helen. Have you ever worked in a restaurant?
Well, no, and in a way, that's part of what I have to offer, is
it? So, you have no idea. No idea how hard it is to get...
Is that Helen on the phone? Is she asking about a move-in date? Because I'd be quite happy to get a shift on.
It is, yes. It's now looking unlikely, however, that she's some...
Are you listening to me?
Sorry, yes.
Do you know how hard it is to start a new restaurant? It is incredibly hard. And things take time. You know, you can't just get it right immediately.
I appreciate the importance of time. I really do. I am, in fact, actively involved in the slow cooking movement.
Stop talking! And stop stepping on people's dreams. You have just made what we're trying to do a million times harder.
Look, I'm...
I liked you. But if you choose to do work like that in the current climate without considering your social responsibility to encourage startups, then I just think you're a clogging great donger. I won't read your books, and I won't read your columns, and I certainly won't come and rent in your house or live under your regime or use any of your three loos.
Well, really, you'd only have been entitled to use two of them.
I'll find somewhere else to live. Thank you.
Unless there was an emergency.
I'll probably have to find another job.
Right, look, I'm sorry, Helen, really.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I really did like the food. I just didn't buy into the concept. I didn't know, of course, about Helen's association with the Barley Pearl. But even if I had, I would not have been able to write any differently, only with a heavier heart. I'm sorry that my words, and that's really all they are, have caused such upset. I'm almost as sorry that she forced me to utter the phrase, buy into the concept. Anthony, of course, is furious and blames me for losing us a splendid prospective tenant. And so I sat at my desk in what my mother might call a funk, and the Scots might term, rather more onomatopoeically, a dwam, until the phone rang.
Damo, your restaurant piece has gone down nicely.
Not in every quarter, I assure you.
You should always ignore the comments. I loved it, they loved it, and they're interested in you doing more.
Well, I won't.
No?
It's kind of them, but it's not me. I don't feel at all comfortable with it, Ian.
Useful bit of money, Damien.
Well, you'd think, but...
Look, I'm not going to try and change your mind. I've done enough begging and pleading this week.
Oh, are things not going any better?
If I have to say the words, can we at least have this discussion with me in the house as well? One more time, I think I'll weep.
Oh, I'm sorry, it's been difficult.
Difficult? It's over, Damien. I'm not sure I've got anything left to give. When I was younger, I was always up for the fight, but now...
Oh.
And I have spent a fortune on tickets to musicals.
Oh, dear.
There's just nothing left in the tank.
Oh, yeah, and I am sorry.
Still, no point in being glum.
January the 21st, Saturday. By the time I woke up, Anthony was already downstairs cracking on with breakfast. His breakfast. He really has got the hump about that girl not moving in, and nothing I seem to say or cook can ameliorate the situation. Yesterday I told him of Ian's woes, and he had nothing helpful to say on the matter other than making noises about people with any sense always knowing when a relationship has run its course. And this morning he cuts me dead whenever I try and speak. He stomped off to the loo with both The Economist and Money Week, and so I made something I know he can never resist. Recipe. Organic chocolate cookies with organic milk chocolate chunks. Sometimes whole months can go by when I barely touch my mixer. At the moment, I'm going through a phase when I'm hardly off the thing.
and this recipe is a simply great way to use it. You will need 8 ounces of butter, 3.5 ounces of white sugar, 7 ounces of brown sugar, 1 egg or 2 if you live at high altitude, 1 teaspoon of vanilla, 8 ounces of flour, 1 pound of chocolate chips, 1 teaspoon of baking soda, and 1 teaspoon of salt. Cream the butter and the white and brown sugars together before adding your egg and vanilla. Then blend in the flour and chipped chocolate. Add the salt and the baking soda, mixing just to combine. Drop the mixture by tablespoonfuls onto a lined baking sheet and then bake at gas mark 4 for 8 to 10 minutes. They may not look done when you first take them out, but if the bottom edges of the cookies are just starting to brown, then they're done. All ovens, of course, vary, and so be wary. They may need a longer time, they may need a shorter time. It's hard for me to say exactly without moving in with you. The cookies get much darker as they finish cooking and start to cool.
Look, I know it's a bit early, but I've made you some biscuits.
Whatever for?
To cheer you up, you big grump.
Oh.
And to say sorry. Sorry for costing us a lodger. I shall choose my assignments with even more care in the future.
Oh, lovely. I like them when they're still hot on the inside.
Do you forgive me?
You are absolved.
Thank you.
And the situation is resolved.
It is?
It is. I might have another one.
Goodness, that went down fast. And far too hot for me to even attempt to eat.
Well, I've got an asbestos tongue.
You do, don't you?
Ooh.
No move. I'll get it. Coming, Mr. Maloney!
Damo! How nice to see you. Thanks for this.
Ian, my word, what are you... That's a lot of luggage.
I can nip back and get the rest tomorrow afternoon.
What? You're coming to stay?
Ian, welcome.
Anthony, the architect of this happy plan.
What's going on?
Hasn't Anthony told you?
Well, I thought it would be a nice surprise.
What?
My assistant Josephine saw the ad on Gumtree. I'm your new lodger.
In and Out of the Kitchen starred Miles Jupp and Justin Edwards, with Selina Cadell, Brendan Dempsey, Philip Fox and Georgina Rich. It was written by Miles Jupp. The producer was Sam Michelle.